What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one, around a couple minor moves in the league today. The Chiefs have tendered a contract to punter Matt Araiza and Mike Caliendo. No surprise with either of those. Just some minor stuff. Housekeeping. They have one other player that's eligible for exclusive rights, free agent. That's like Spencer Schrader, the kicker that they brought in at one point during the season.
I probably won't extend
that. Probably not going to utilize that, but this was just kind of some housekeeping stuff the Chiefs had to take care of before the league year starts up next week.
I mean, again, Caliendo is the most no-brainer thing of all time. He started for you last year, so if worst-case scenario had to start for you this year for the whole season instead of half, well, it could be worse, but also I still think it's going to be Kings League. Next up on What's Trending, Missouri versus Kentucky tomorrow at 11 a.m. for their final regular season game. KU at Arizona at 3:30, and K-State will take on Iowa State at 12:30. All three of those, their regular season finales. UMKC season also ended last night in a 70-61 loss to Omaha.
What happened?
Things fell apart months ago, man. I don't know what to tell you. Months ago, the Roos stopped playing good basketball. They started losing all the time. They were down like 15 or 20 to Omaha, went on a 10-0 run, got it back within 7 or 8, never really made the rest of the way to come back, lost by 9.
I think our show's slightly to blame. We were playing a Roo up in early February to try to get them a last-minute push for the turning.
Yeah, we didn't go.
We didn't go.
We didn't give them the support that they needed.
That's on us.
This is like a Jerome Tang thing. We should have been out there supporting the Roos, and then they would have played better.
Yeah, we'll take some blame for that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Elsewhere in What's Trending, the Bills have agreed to terms on a 4-year, $50 million contract extension with linebacker Terrell Bernard. He is only 25 years old, so a nice
addition.
That's a good
Nick Bolton comparison.
Yeah, price-wise. Contract-wise, maybe so. That's not a bad comp. I'd be curious to see where that's at, but the Bills reshuffling their defense around, but they're going to keep Bernard around.
Next up on What's Trending, Stephen A. Smith is signed a 5-year, $100 million extension to remain over at ESPN. That is just straight up starting guard money, for being honest. He's getting the same amount of money as Trey Smith's going to get.
Unbelievable.
In the free agent market. He's their bell cow. He's the single biggest face of the entire company, I think, at the moment.
No doubt.
A result of that, he's getting paid a whole lot of money.
Yeah, it's incredible. Props to him. No doubt. Props to him. Lastly, on What's Trending, some news in the Olympic world. You're like, what are you talking about? Have you seen this story? Ryan Wedding, he was an ex-Olympic snowboarder for Canada in 2022. He finished 24th, but hey, he was still Olympian, 24th in the giant slalom. He's now added to the FBI's 10 most wanted list amid drug trafficking and murder accusations. This dude was on the Canadian Olympic team just 3 years ago.
Well, didn't go great after that, I guess.
Offering $10 million for information that leads to his arrest and or conviction. Quote, Wedding went from shredding powder on the slopes at the Olympics to distributing powder cocaine on the streets of U.S. cities.
Get out of here.
Those statements that sometimes they put out with these.
You don't have to write it like that.
Yeah.
AI generated or something.
But no, he's allegedly, you know, to be living in Mexico, the U.S. So he's believed to be living in either Mexico, the U.S., Canada, Colombia, Honduras, Guatemala, or Costa Rica.
They got no idea where this guy is. Damn.
Well, that's why he's at, $10 million. Yeah, $10
million. He's in the FBI top 10 wanted list. Mm-hmm. If I can head to Mexico anytime soon, I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold.
Some people are bringing in their suggestions for what the passcode should be.
You for the tab?
Gum bucket.
Wow,
I have to say that one's so careful.
Yeah, gum.
Every time after all that. Did I say Gruyere? chew it and do it. Someone says just it's on tap.
Yeah, that's good.
Like,
someone
that's a
else
classic
suggested
one.
Duval.
That could be it.
There's lots of choices here. You
got to settle on something, you know? Or any of these. How about any of these phrases?
Any of these will actually
work. The bartenders are like, what are they saying?
Any proof that, like, you've listened to this show will do, you know?
We'll see you at Kelly's tonight at 6:30 in Westport. Trey Hendrickson, likely on his way out in Cincinnati. The news late yesterday that Trey Hendrickson's been given permission to seek a trade. 30 years old, one of the better defensive edge rushers in the game, and he's in unique company of maybe being moved, right? There's not often a guy is a runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year, and his team, then the next offseason, is willing to move on. The last time a defensive All-Pro who also finished runner-up defensive player of the year voting changed teams in the offseason was Kevin Green back in 1996.
That's nuts. So
it just doesn't happen. I think on the surface, if I tell you a team doesn't want to pay a pass rusher that's 30, you'd be like, okay, that makes
elite
sense.
Elite level money, you know, yeah. Whatever it costs, high-end defensive end money.
But one, it doesn't happen very often, as we just pointed out. And your defense was so bad, you would think you would want to keep a guy that had, what did you say, 15 sacks last year or something like that. So surprising, like knowing that you're investing a lot of your resources still
on
offense.
And because the defense was so bad. Like this goes back to the Chris Jones thing. We were trying to imagine a defense without Chris Jones, and it was pretty horrifying. Drew, you're a Bengals fan. You want to imagine what Cincy's defense is without Trey Hendrickson right now? I know you can
not particularly.
All you do instead is like place people inside. You're like, let me put some other players in here, because if it's just what this defense was, but without that, I don't want to envision what the world is.
Jeff Howe, who's a beat writer for The Athletic, he just put out a little while ago, said the Bengals have received quite a bit of interest in a potential trade for Trey Hendrickson, who has been given permission to speak with teams about a new contract. Sounds like the possibility exists for a win-win outcome for both sides. He's not staying in Cincinnati. They're going to get this trade done at some point. He's going to be somewhere else, whether it's any of the teams we've mentioned with Myles Garrett are also candidates, right? The Commanders, the Bills. I think the Chargers are an interesting team to watch as well. The Colts, Drew, you mentioned them earlier. There's multiple teams that are going to have interest in Trey Hendrickson. They're going to have to give him an extension as well. He's a hell of a football player. Unless there's a bigger move coming for Cincy on defense, like trading for Myles Garrett in division, you're going to have a great offense again if you keep T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, it looks like they're trying to.
I don't think that would be smart to just go over to get Myles Garrett. I'd rather them try to spread the love around to where you don't have, you would miss that elite level talent, but you at least make the offense solidified enough where instead of them being 30th, they're 20th. Like that, I think is good enough. That would be good enough for them to make the playoffs last season based on how they played.
They need to be 15 to 20 range, 15 to 20 range to have a shot with that kind of offense that they have. Yeah. I think 15 to 20 range is all you're asking for.
I'll be intrigued to see what they do. Or what they would get back for, like,
what's the going rate? The speculation,
second, and nobody ultimately knows, but some of the beat writers that cover the team, the speculation there is early third, late second is kind of the thought there, or a combination of third and a sixth or something like that is what you're looking at, knowing the team has to give an extension, and he's 30 even, but he's runner up for defensive player of the year. We're not just talking about
letting those kind of players go is kind of crazy, you know, like in a way where I still think it's a setup. I know I told you this earlier, Drew, and I'm not doing it to make you mad. I honestly don't think Cincinnati never pays anybody. Trey Hendrickson is just the most recent example of someone they don't pay, right?
Correct.
Like it's just the most recent example. So like I'm really supposed to believe that for the first time in a gajillion years of their franchise's history, they're going to pony up $40 million a year for Ja'Marr Chase. I think the main reason they are interested in T. Higgins is because they know they can't afford Ja'Marr Chase.
You think they're picking Higgins over Chase?
I don't think they're picking Higgins as in they think Higgins is the better player. I think they just think Higgins costs less money and he's going to cost less guarantees and less guarantees up front. And we're going to pay Higgins. And as soon as we get Higgins under the books, then we got a year to figure out what to do with Ja'Marr Chase, which in my opinion will end in 1 year him being franchised and traded.
That'd be an unmitigated disaster if that happened.
I don't disagree, but I mean, is he getting a contract extension this year? He should have gotten one last year. Yeah. Is he going to get it this year, do you think?
Based on if they do trade Trey Hendrickson and the money's available there, I would expect T. Higgins is going to get the deal first, of course, because he's got the franchise tag. Ja'Marr Chase still has another year on his original deal anyways. Then
$21 million this year.
I would suspect that he gets a deal as well. I would think that both of them would be paid, but quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was just T. Higgins and they let things play out again with Ja'Marr Chase again, and they tag him, and then they do the same thing next season that they're trying to do with T. Higgins now, just because that's the way that the Bengals seem to do their business, which, it's not great. Questionable.
Can you think of a team, just out of curiosity, can you think of a single team that's ever tied up $70 million, like, not even that, just like $50 million. $70 million a year in two wide receivers? Evans and Godwin is probably the closest.
I mean, how much is...
I was just trying to think of like an example of a team doing that. Two high-end wide receivers at the same time. Evans and Godwin is probably as close as I can get. They're paying agent rent a lot.
The Eagles are paying, I believe, eight players $50-plus million. They have eight players on $50-plus million contracts right now.
A.J. Brown was on a 3-year for $96 million, so he's making $30 million a year. And Devonta Smith.
They just extended him, didn't they? They just extended Devonta.
Yeah, and I think that, his will probably look a little bit higher than what I think. Let's see, $30 million a year for him. So, I mean, I guess it's not out of the question. I've just never seen him do it. 3 for 75, so 25 and 30. I mean, that's a far shot from 70.
It's different. Yeah, obviously, it's different than 40 and 30.
And both of those guys are on three-year deals.
The Eagles also have a legit defense, though, so it's, you
because,
know
because
I mean?
They like, drafted it, you know, right. that is the ultimate difference.
It wasn't a one-offseason thing. Yes, they're secondary. They nailed Quinion Mitchell and Cooper Jean.
But they drafted Jalen Carter. They drafted Jordan Davis.
Right, but it took a couple years. I guess my thing is, like, the thought
they were a 9-win team for, like, 4 years in a row before
the thought
they
that Cincinnati
there.
Is going to just now say, we're going to take four picks this offseason and get a bunch of young rookies, and we're going to be good next year on defense, I think is not realistic is all I'm saying.
Sure, but
it's a long-term plan. Sure, but that means are they going to go three straight years without making the playoffs?
I mean, the Bengals have won 9 games each of the last 2 seasons, similar to what you just said, Cody, with the Eagles doing. I mean, that is the blueprint that if they're going to follow a blueprint, the Eagles is the blueprint that they should follow. Of course, that relies on them drafting well, which they have shown they haven't been able to do. That's why the Chiefs and the Eagles have made multiple Super Bowls over the last few years, because they've drafted well and they've spent the money where they see fit, and it's all worked out in their favor.
I mean,
that's just the question for the Bills. That's the question for the Bengals. That's the question for the Ravens, even for the 49ers.
The biggest problem with the Ja'Marr Chase deal is the same problem that existed last year. They were willing to match. They were willing to make him the highest paid wide receiver based on average annual money made per year. They were $50 million short in the guarantees. Not like
for a guy that good, it doesn't make any sense why you wouldn't just give him the guarantees.
They were $50 million short in the guarantees. Yeah. So, like, what? Like, no deal, right?
For somebody that good, you give them the guaranteed money because they're just that good.
That's what's going to be. I mean, can they even get T. Higgins done? You know, same problem, right?
If they don't get him done by Monday or Tuesday, it might be a problem.
It might just be a franchise tag played out. They get the money to pay him on the franchise tag for the year, but then they're just like sitting around with two wide receivers who aren't signed.
If they give him the contract, they pay him less money than they would on the franchise tax. They're technically saving money by extending him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, but I'm just saying how the Chiefs will save money by, you know, actually extending Trey Smith.
But it's the cash up front thing. It's always the cash up front thing. That always runs into a problem for owners who don't have the liquid cash. And he's, I don't know if he's the poorest owner, but he's one of them, right? He's not poor. Let me just be clear.
He inherited the team. He did not buy the team. So, yeah, that is a something to point out.
Yeah. Normally, that's just slightly different, right? I mean, you have plenty of money, but you don't have the kind of money like, you know, whoever
there's NFL.
The Jags owner, there's or the Panthers owner, whatever.
Yeah. David Tepper compared to, you know, even Mark Davis in Las Vegas. Yeah. They're very, very wealthy, but there's still a different level to wealth in the NFL circles. Like Jerry Jones compared to any of these guys, even Clark Hunt compared to Dave Tepper. Like, there's just a difference.
Yeah. Like, Clark Hunt's probably worth $1 billion or $2 billion, and Dave Tepper's worth like $7 or $8 billion. And when it comes to like ponying up escrow money for a contract, I don't think that number never plays. I do want to emphasize one thing about Kelly's tonight. Somebody was pointing out, like, hey, where are we going to meet? Where are we going to go? We have a private space. There'll be a sign that tells you where to go. So the Cutting Gold listeners will be gathering on the patio.
If you hear someone singing, very loudly,
if you're past Quintino on the speakers, you'll know you're heading to the right location. It's actually a speakeasy now. You gotta hear something on the speakers.
Oh boy.
I still gotta go into Specs office and raid it for any of the random t-shirts we have from Raygun. I'm bringing whatever I can tonight, you know? It's gonna be a good time.
We'll see you guys out there. I wanna get back into some other positions, though, in the NFL that are being discussed heavily. And that, of course, is wide receiver, not just the defensive end market, but the wide receiver market's getting more and more interesting. A couple new reports just in the last, hour or so I wanna discuss. The latest from Brady Henderson. He's a writer that covers, I believe, the Seattle Seahawks. The Raiders have contacted Seattle about a potential DK Metcalf trade. Probably no surprise with the connection with Pete Carroll.
Sure.
So that's a team to keep an eye on. That's the same thing with the Tyrell Lockett deal. And also, the latest from Ian Rappaport is, as of now, the Rams are more likely to just release Cooper Kupp than find a trade partner. And that makes sense. We went through the numbers for Cooper Kupp. Not only his age, but the contract is almost untradeable. I mean, it just is. It's different than the Deebo Samuel contract that allowed them to trade him for a fifth round pick. Cooper Kupp is making 29.7 this year and 27 next season, and he'll be 33.
And we know the acquiring team to be less than that, but still way too much.
So that's not surprising. You could see Cooper Kupp maybe get cut before Monday.
The first team who should call on Cooper Kupp is the New England Patriots. They desperately need wide receiver help. They need a safety net for the guy, Drake May. And they are reportedly in on some of these potential trade wide receivers. Why not get at least one guy in-house without giving up an asset? And you got to find out on May this year. Quarterbacks, you get 2 years to find out. Sorry. Or you got to like start figuring out the next plan. Load up. Give Drake May a chance. Give him a lot of weapons. Give him some good NFL players and figure out whether you can do it. I get the injury risk and all that. And I'm not saying don't get a young wide receiver or draft one too. But if I were the Patriots, that'd probably be my first call.
Cooper Kupp's interesting there. The Panthers, I think, would be interesting. Maybe Cooper Kupp doesn't want to go there, but
he's their Thielen replacement,
right?
God, does he Chris really
Godwin.
Go
Chris Godwin's a free agent. If I'm the Patriots, Chris Godwin's who I would be going heavily after. I mean, there's a reason why the free agent market and everything's going to be nuts next week. There's a lot of teams. The Commanders have the second most cap space. The Patriots have the most. People are going shopping next week, and some of these contracts are going to look crazy. But just remember the salary cap is going to keep going up as it did this past year, and so some of the numbers 5 years ago would have been insane. It's just kind of the going rate for certain positions here in 2025.
See the text line arguing over Clark Hunt's net worth. I don't know. According to Google, he's worth $1.6 billion, but the family is worth $20.
Yeah, I think they're talking about the whole group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, they've put all the money they've needed to in escrow every time they've been asked to put it in.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot say the same thing for Cincinnati. That's for sure.
That's true.
Looks a little bit different on that end. Were you surprised to see that a potential target, Christian Kirk, was traded before? Honestly, don't blame the Texans. If you wanted Kirk for the price of a sixth-round pick and some money, which they can afford, you know, you get your guy in-house. Tank Dell's career, who knows?
Yeah, the Texans jumped the line to get Christian Kirk. It's an in-division trade, which makes it a little more interesting, too. Doesn't happen a ton. Now, I'm not saying Christian Kirk's a top five player in his position or anything like that, but still, you don't see it happen all that frequently. Tank Dell may never play again. Like, that's the sad reality, as you said, with the situation with he finally just had ACL surgery. They had other procedures that had to take place with the devastating injury he suffered against Kansas City in that playoff game, was that the regular season game or the playoff game?
That was the playoff game. No.
Regular season game.
Yeah,
I was saying.
That was the first half of the regular season game, so, right before halftime. Yep.
That's something that changes their projection going forward for their wide receiver room. They already paid Nico Collins. Now,
and he's at a good market rate, by the way. He's only like $26 million a year for the guy who's landing targets and catches.
Would have been interested in Christian Kirk, as a lot of teams would have. That takes one veteran off the market. If you're Hollywood Brown, that's good news for you, right? That there's one less guy in the open market that you're competing with, maybe.
Yeah, but I was a little surprised to see it, mostly because in those cases, teams don't want to take on the $16 million. The Texans are... you know, we've mentioned this. They're like, if you made me guess the five teams I think are most interesting this offseason, Texans are trying to rebuild their entire offensive line. You think the Chiefs had a bad offensive line? The Texans are trying to change all five members of it, four of the five members. They hated their offensive line so much. Now they're still out here targeting wide receivers. They're trying to make sure CJ Stroud looks good in year three, because year two was, it went downhill in a quickly. That's also why I think, when you're going after wide, like if you're Jaden Daniels, like keep loading it up for a little while until he's expensive. Don't let it just be like, we're good. No, just keep protected, do all
Terry
that.
McLaurin and Debo. Yeah, they probably should go sign another wide receiver if you're a team like the Commanders.
Or draft a guy. They're relying, how was their offense was really good for not having some elite level group
they
of wide
were,
receivers. Jeez.
Look, luck is
and
luck.
And they signed two former Chiefs backup offensive linemen.
Luck is luck, but they were the most, I think was their turnover rate was insane. Like just, they recovered every single fumble. They converted.
So they got a little regression to mean in the turnover department.
The same percentage or better than the Lions did on fourth down. Like, it was just insane. Like, to their credit, they took advantage of it, but they had some stuff go
their way.
They had
multiple games where they just didn't punt either. I mean, they had no punts.
They went for a ton of fourth downs and converted on a lot of it. Everybody gave the Lions a lot of credit for it, but the Commanders were right there with them in terms of aggressiveness on fourth downs and the conversion rate.
Yeah, okay.
Cliff Kingsbury.
Well, then they know they got to get better, because otherwise, like, the regression to the mean, because turnovers are a mean, that you're not just like better at recovering fumbles than any team in the NFL. That is a luck-based stat that tends to ride towards the middle if given a year after year after year after year run. That typically is a luck-based stat. And so, like, you know, you got to find out where you're at least.
Didn't they barely make the playoffs? Like, it was, I think they played everybody week 18, correct, to make it? Didn't they have to beat whoever they played to make it?
For seeding.
It was for seeding only?
I think they were in the playoffs. I think they were pretty comfortable.
I thought it was for seeding reasons. Remember, the Rams decided not to play. Everybody was critical of the Rams not playing anybody. They ended up working out because they got to play Sam Darnold and the Vikings.
The only reason, because they were the sixth seed. Because the only reason I'm saying that is because of along the luck lines, like that Hail Mary against the Bears, like that might have been what the difference was.
They were the sixth seed, so I don't know if they were like right on Razor's
edge. I don't
know
if it was nip and tuck, but if they'd have lost that, if that Hail Mary to the Bears, if they don't get that, do they actually make the playoffs?
Who's your most interesting team in the offseason, Gold?
Well, when we talk about storylines, I actually thought Cincinnati was high up because just how are they going to navigate building that roster, and it's an AFC team. So.
It hasn't gotten less interesting right now that they're putting so Trey Hendrickson on
Cincinnati
the trade
block. Was high on that list because of the decisions they have to make with Chase and Higgins and Hendrickson, even though now it looks like they've made a decision on Hendrickson, which is going to be eventually to trade him. So that's probably that team. Outside of that, I get what you're saying on the Texans. I think the Patriots are interesting only if are they going to just truly just build up a whole offense and make that division at least a little bit more competitive.
When's the last time that division was even kind of competitive?
It's been a while. The in fairness, the Dolphins had a game against the Bills.
Oh, they had a chance to win the division
2 years ago. So I guess that would be it.
They got smoked in that game.
Yes, and then they came to Kansas City and got smoked as well. I'm thinking of that. That was the same time. That was the same time frame of the story that had somewhat of a conclusion this week. You know, the story of the people in the backyard, the Chiefs fans that were watching that Dolphins game.
That was
Wasn't it from the Dolphins game?
Yeah.
And the three individuals that died, they went over somebody's house, right? And two of them were found outside, or three, whatever,
like frozen.
And then everybody was like, we had Dana Wright in here talking about it at one point from KMBZ. And it was like, yeah, it's kind of this mystery. Everybody had a opinion on what it was like. Did they overdose? You saw this week I guess it's somewhat of a conclusion, which is two people were charged, and basically it was, you know, cocaine laced with fentanyl.
One was like the person who maybe supplied the drugs.
That sounds like what it is. Yeah.
Dang.
But that was it was on TMZ again the other day. It was like a great mystery of like, what the heck happened here?
Well, it took a full year to get charged. That's got to be a I'm not saying you don't deserve to be charged, but
sure.
Like, to live life where you're like, these people died at your house, then you're waiting a whole year. Just living your regular life, I guess. And then now they're charging you like, oh my God, I just like, but yeah, there should be a conclusion to the story. I don't think three people should die of a drug overdose
and not
in a cold and like nothing happened.
Yeah. It was fentanyl.
Oof. So they all just took a toxic combination of drugs that they should not have taken.
I think another team that might be interesting is maybe the Vikings. Because they're not going to tag Sam Darnold.
McCarthy.
It seems like they want to bring Darnold back, though, based on reports, but they're not tagging him. Do they go with McCarthy? Like, how exactly does that whole thing pan out?
The minute you didn't tag Sam Darnold, to me, just move on. Like, I know there's speculation, as you said, they're going to bring him back and build a team around him and all this. Like, to me, just go with JJ McCarthy now. Just roll with it. You should have tagged Sam Darnold and see if there was a market. They clearly didn't think there was. So
if you bring back Sam Darnold, the only thing that tells me is you hate J.J. McCarthy and you think he stinks. That's what it tells me. It tells me you think J.J. McCarthy stinks. So I guess good luck getting him traded or trying to start him in a couple of years. But if in year two, and I know you didn't get a good look at him last year because of the injury. I get how that works. But you're like, you know what you saw in the draft, and now you've seen him in meetings or whatever. Like, you think he stinks if you're going back to Sam Darnold for multiple years.
He had to re-repair the ACL had surgery, and then he had a setback. And had to get another procedure done midseason, right? That was
so. JJ McCarthy was never going to be the week one starter.
It
was
going to
be
Sam
Darnold was always going to start. It's just the injury happened. Then it made it clear that Sam Darnold was starting all year, no matter what. And then he played great. So then it was like, oh wow. I still think the last two games of the season cost him so many of the opportunities.
Years,
that,
money, $50-60 million.
He was playing really, really well. And then he looked like old Sam Darnold for two games, and it changed everybody's opinion. But if you're not going to tag him, which they didn't, I would let him walk. Go with JJ McCarthy. You drafted him very high. Make it work. I think Kevin O'Connell also is a really good head coach, so I think he can make it work with the weapons that JJ McCarthy would have.
You're going to be throwing some pretty good weapons. Jefferson.
And Hockenson is there. Now, they'll have a new running back because Aaron Jones looks like may not re-sign there.
Still.
But you can draft one.
There's a bunch, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing the Chiefs have going for him. Yeah, I mean, there's not if I'm Sam Darnold, there's not a better place to be playing quarterback. That's the best place. I get elite-level wide receivers.
Yeah. He should want to be back.
He should actually, like, if they're willing to give him the contract, Darnold should take it.
I don't think
he should not worry about J.J. McCarthy. I'm just saying from a franchise perspective.
Yeah, I don't think it's a debate for him. Like, if they want to offer him a contract, I think he would take it.
This is his only payday.
Raiders should just sign Sam Darnold. Why would you go and sign a veteran for 1 year when you can get Darnold for like three at 70% of the cost of what some of these other quarterbacks, and you might have a chance to get top 15, top 10 quarterback play based on what we saw from Darnold a year ago. All right, up next, though, the latest numbers are out on what Trey Smith's contract could look like. Plus, we head out to Arizona. Check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Coming up in 25 minutes, Fan Club Friday here on Cody and Gold.
Kind of drink a, before we go drink. Yeah, a little pregame
for Kelly's tonight. Our friends from Sazerac who are helping us with the event tonight. They're going to be in studio. And we'll have to joke about something we just discovered during the break as well. With the
misidentified
folks.
Somebody. Yeah. You know?
I'll have to ask him why his Twitter handle is Mike Jones and his name's not Mike Jones. I was hoping to be able to use this.
I'm Mike Jones. Ooh. Mike Jones, the one and only. You can't clone.
I was hoping to be able to use that when he walked
Maybe
in.
Maybe he's just a big Mike Jones
but,
fan.
But that's not his name. No, it is not. But we will have... We will have Walton and others in studio.
Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Drew, do you like a good mule cocktail? You seem you're not anti-cocktail. You just don't really drink beer.
Correct. I'll have a cocktail. I'll have a margarita. I'll have Mike's Hard. I'll have a cider. Just beer.
Is the wife coming tonight?
Oh.
She's not, unfortunately. Oh. Busy Friday
You bringing
night.
A date? I'm Great not. First date opportunity tonight.
No,
meet
a terrible
us.
First date.
Our coworkers.
No, I have a friend or two that are
you know,
gonna
come on.
A friend or two coming over to Kelly's tonight. So
you might meet the lucky lady tonight.
Doubtful.
You think that you once got a number any chance. At Kelly's?
You think that our show's unofficial meetup is going to be the spot? And look, I love our listeners, but 90% of you are men.
Maybe they bring so, like, a just, you know, sister or something. You know,
I.
Cousin.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe like, you walk downstairs and there's a girl at the bar.
That's true. I can. You know what, Cody? We got a tab. I'm just going to offer to buy drinks for everybody, you know?
You're going to bring up like three different girls and be like, can I get you a drink? You just got to come upstairs and chat for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say it like that. That actually sounds like you're going to murder them.
Hang on a second. Yeah, that's going
to
go well.
Definitely don't say it like that. That would be the worst conceivable way to do it. We'll ask Vern what's his drink of choice.
Someone says they're having an intervention for us tonight at Kelly's.
For what?
For having Friday day drinking every Friday.
Oh, you know, we take some Fridays off.
I'm also now told Walton will not be there at 1 o'clock. It'll be somebody else from Sazerac. Walton has a doctor's appointment with Mike Jones.
I'm Mike Jones.
Anyway, we'll talk to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider here.
Someone said I might have to hold off or I won't make it tonight.
Oh, jeez.
Relax.
Wow.
I am dealing with the neck spasm still a little bit, you know.
Yeah, how's the neck? Latest update? Like, scale of 1 to 10 in pain?
How's the finger from, like, 2 months ago?
that was crazy.
The finger's much better. The neck spasm, probably 3 or 4 out of 10 right now.
Oh, wow.
The past couple of days, it's been, like, a 7 or an 8. It's been...
Wow.
Huh. It's better today.
Okay.
Knock on wood, we can keep it that way. I've been
real quick, and then we'll move on just to follow up on a text. 913-586-7965. Someone says, can anyone come tonight or is it invite only? Yeah, it's any listener. Any listener. If you heard about it, any listener.
You listened. You helped us make the number one rated show. That's why we had the money to do the tab to pay for drinks. We got $1,100. When it runs out, it runs out. It's all I could muster up when it runs out. But like, yeah, anyone's welcome. Any listener.
All right. So Trey Smith has been tagged by the Chiefs. We know there's, in all likelihood, a contract extension on the way. Nate Taylor from The Athletic had the latest estimate on what that deal is going to look like. 4 or 5 years, he said, $23 million a year is the type of salary we're looking at for Trey Smith. We already knew he was going to become the highest paid guard in football with a contract extension or the franchise tag. So this shouldn't surprise you. Is that number worth it for you? Because that was always going to be the ballpark figure, though, when the offseason started. And before the offseason started, I was totally fine with them letting him walk. They've decided to retain him. So now the price is the price. Good news is you're not competing against anybody else. I'm still convinced that's why they franchise tagged him, because they did not want
you're
him.
You're just saying it doesn't matter whether you like or dislike the price. That's the price.
And the Chiefs had to have thought that too, right?
I think in a lot of ways they had to have some idea of the number. And if the projections are what they are, I guess the real question at this point is you want 4 or 5 years. Trey has been a very healthy player up to this point in his NFL career. Way behind him is the stuff that people were worried about related to his heart all the way back in the NFL draft and the stuff that like came up as a result of that. Look, I'll be honest. I'd prefer it at 21 or 22, the top guard money. But I told you if he had hit the free agency market, I think someone's going to pay him 25 or 26.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think you got a $12 million to $15 million total discount on Trey Smith. I actually kind of love the number. $23 million is an okay number to pay for an elite level guard. That's not out of the number. They'll have no right tackle money after next year. They'll have center, but it's going to take a little while to do it. And then, yeah, the rest of it just kind of like fills in the gaps. And so when you look at it, I think it's not a bad price to pay. It is a pretty standard price to pay. I think Joe Tooney's probably going to get 20 mil a year.
Yeah, 2 for 42 is what they're talking about in Chicago.
So, like, really all I'm asking is, would you have rather had Joe Tooney at 3 years and 60, because he was owed $26 million this year? So let's say Joe Tooney at 3 years and $67 million, or Trey Smith at 4 for 94. And it's like, you know, I'll take the 4 for 94. He's 26 years old. Price tag seems about right. Cap keeps going up.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a number I can live with. It's a little high.
Yeah.
It's a little high.
Because I always thought it was going to be more. I think it's a five-year deal, but we'll see. Now it could be 5 years, and it's basically a four-year deal. And gives him some more flexibility by extending it out to a fifth year. He's 27 years old. He's, you know, one of the best run-blocking guards in football. He's one of the better guards, period. But when it comes to run-blocking, he's about as good as it gets in the league. Talking about Trey Smith. The guard market, hopefully, we look in 2 years from now when the cap keeps going up and we say, oh, you know what, that number's not too bad. That's kind of how we felt about the Joe Tooney deal 4 years ago or whatever it was.
I think this is why it's so important to get McDuffie done. I think at some point we're going to look at a cap number that's going to explode for corners. Just pay McDuffie now before it does.
Well, that was the discussion.
Like, jump is a couple million, kind of like Trey did, but don't like let it get totally out of control. That's what's happening with Trey. It's going up. It's going up a decent amount, but it's not like, it's not out of this world up.
That's what the Chiefs should be trying to do. Does Trent McDuffie...
He knows the same thing we do.
Does Trent McDuffie want a deal now? If you're the Chiefs, yeah, you want to go ahead and jump the line to make sure that some of the other guys don't get a deal and push the number higher and higher and higher. I don't know if Trent McDuffie's willing to get it done as sooner than later. You know, if you're him, you know, there's an injury risk if you play out the, you know, next year instead of a new deal. But if we're sitting here and we're waiting till August, even by then, some of these other corners could have deals even if we wait till we're in St. Joe. So that'll be the couple weeks down the road, month down the road thing to watch. First, they got to figure out this left tackle situation and others. But yeah, the Trent McDuffie thing is another priority, I think, at some point this offseason. The Chiefs, I think, would like to get it done. It's just whether or not he does.
I think it's a market deal. Like, a lot of this would be like, if you don't like that deal, you never want to Trey Smith anyway. If you didn't like that deal, you want a Joe Tooney instead. The number itself should not scare you away. Nate Taylor reporting that it's 4 to 5 years at $23 million a year. Yeah. Sorry. That's the cost of doing business. And I kind of like the length. I understand sometimes it's nice to sign a 3-year deal. We're just talking about the wide receivers like in Philly. Both A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith are on a 3-year contract extension. The appeal of doing it is, one, the money eventually gets better and better based on the cap going up gold, which is important, obviously, for a variety of reasons. But it's not just that. It's that Trey Smith is young. Signing him up for 4 or 5 years means you pretty much get him for all of his 20s, and then you're going to make a decision on whether or not you want him to continue to be a member of your team. My guess is he'd go then.
Yeah, you'll have the next
Creed
guy.
Is probably going to be, yeah. But you have the next guy. You got plenty of time to solve that problem. But it's like, you buy yourself his entire 30s. That's a great time to buy someone's entire NFL career. If I just said, whole contract I'm giving you is when you're 26 to 30. Sign me up.
That's how the Chiefs have typically operated. It's why earlier when we discussed Justin Reed, if they continue with how they've operated, most likely Justin Reed's probably hitting the free agent market unless they go against what they've done. Usually when you cross over 30, unless your name is Travis Kelce or Chris Jones and eventually Patrick Mahomes, they're typically not giving you top tier market deals, or at least, I would say top 5 to top 7 market deals at your respective position. And it's been a fairly successful way to operate for Brett Veach, I would say, over the last 5 to 7 years. We'll get back to some football, I'm sure, during Fan Club Friday as well. But let's head out to Arizona, talk some spring training baseball. Of course, coverage of spring training here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. Our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, joins us. Vern, let's just get it out of the way. Yesterday, we asked you about Salvador Perez. All good?
Yeah, Salvy's fine. He was itching to get back into a game, and he'll do that, it appears, coming up in just over 1 hour from now. The tarp is on the field, but for some reason they're still going to play this game. It's so cold. It's colder here than it is in Kansas City. I think you guys actually got us beat. I must tell you a cool Cool. A funny story about Salvi is there's a young woman from Venezuela. She does sports coverage in Venezuela. The Royals have as many Venezuelan players as any team in Major League Baseball, as Salvi, the legendary Salvi's on the team. And to a young single man, this would be a very attractive woman. So as
not you though.
As the guys are going through their little, stretching and wind sprints and whatnot, there's some snickering going on as we're all observing, and she's standing there as well. Salvi takes it on himself. He grabs Drew Waters by the arm and drags him over to her, because I'm guessing Drew Waters was chirping a little bit, feeling himself, talking about what she looks like and what he would do. So Salvi drags Drew over, introduces him to her. Drew Waters just beat red in the face. Michael Garcia's doubled over in laughter. Angel Zerpa right there next to him. All the Venezuelans getting a good kick out of the gringo opening his mouth a little bit.
That's great. That's fantastic. That's what I really do love about Salvi. He's always just so unapologetically himself, which means he's not afraid to embarrass Drew Waters in that circumstance. Vern, do you think that Gold is going to meet his future wife at Kelly's tonight?
Ooh, no, I don't.
Okay. How long do you think an $1,100 tab will last, considering we've invited people on the show for the last 2 weeks?
Not long. Not long at all. I'll say, what time? It starts at 6?
6:30.
6:30. I'll say, looking at the ratings, you guys will probably have it spent in 90 minutes.
Okay, you're thinking 8 o'clock. We'll set the over-under at 7:59.5,
Yeah, I think it can go quick.
You know better than most. You bought some beers at Kauffman once and the tab ran up fast.
Backfired.
Wasn't it your card?
Forgot you to set to use a limit
card?
Like you guys.
Yeah, you used your card.
Smart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure did. Yep, and I'm begging the people I worked with. I'm like, hey, man, can you throw me a hundo? I got nothing right now.
Can you confirm? So somebody who was in attendance in the game last night, they were talking about that Caglione home run, which was obviously impressive. He said it's more impressive than people realize because the wind was blowing in from right field. What was that home run like, I guess, in person? Was it really hard to get a home run that night?
It's still the desert, but yes, it certainly has been as windy as really I've experienced out here in Arizona. An impressive home run. Can I just get to the? Does Dusty Likens speak for the station?
No.
As he is wont to have Jack on the opening day roster, are either one of you three banging that same drum?
No. Cody's getting close.
Because it's pretty strong coming from Dusty. I wasn't sure if he speaks.
I said, give me a couple of weeks and I might talk myself into it, but I'm not there.
Right. Are we writing a song, Cody? Because that's the telltale sign that the city is behind this idea.
No, I don't think that's the majority by any means. I think everybody, look, you watch the highlight like we did. We weren't there in person, and he looks the part. You're like, my goodness, he makes it look easy. All of that fits. But the guys he's faced, even in spring, Vern, I don't know. I maybe Colin Snyder. Otherwise, I don't know any of these other guys. I couldn't name you the pitchers he's actually gone up against.
Colin Snyder, of course, a member of the Mike Matheny Royals. If anyone's wondering who Colin Snyder is, and that's
Jake
not to knock everybody that was
Jake
on that team.
Jake Heitenbaden, who the hell is that? What I'm saying, that's my only thing. Let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, and we really want to relegate the kid to being a DH only, because what was overheard yesterday while Jack was in right field just during regular batting practice, shagging fly balls, one coach hollers, that's why you're an infielder, as he completely misread just a routine can of corn fly ball. So, again, this is the big leagues. They're always looking to exploit weaknesses. It's not, hey, just get out in right field and learn it quickly. That you guys know. That's not how it works.
I guess I think it's as simple as hit in the minors and we'll teach you right field. They're going to put him in there. Agreed. They're going to put him in his natural position. They're going to let him do his thing in AA or AAA. And if you hit and you keep hitting and you're forcing our hand, we'll teach you right field then. We're not going to force to teach you right field until, I guess, we get to that point.
And MJ's hitting. Massey's hitting. Now, Michael Garcia's hitting. Now, MJ and Massey have hit before and have hit well out here in spring training. Can they carry that to the regular season? I tend to believe that they're more likely to help the team win in April, May, and June than Jack Caglione, but that, of course, is not to rule out a second-half emergence of the big swinging lefty, no doubt.
I loved hearing Vern, by the way. I saw Cole Reagans did really well yesterday, kind of shoved for a spring training game. I loved reading that it was like part of it is because he was pissed off about how badly he'd performed in a spring training game. Some pitchers don't care about that. I mean, Zach Greinke was throwing like 30-mile-per-hour wiffle balls essentially in those just for fun. It's like, but he took it serious. Like, it sounds like Cole Reagans takes even spring training serious.
Yeah, I mean, he gets butterflies before his first outing in the Cactus League every single season. I was wondering, because I came out with you guys last week after his subpar performance here in Surprise, and you know, some were wondering, is there anything to be concerned about? And I quickly dismissed it, and then the next day inside the clubhouse, you would think that Cole Reagans lost Game 7 of the World Series. I mean, this dude was agitated, head down in the locker. And talking with Brian Sweeney, Royals pitching coach, earlier today, you know, that's Cole Reagans. You know, he can get too high, he can get too low, but they have done since coming to Kansas City. They've done a pretty good job of quickly identifying what's the issue. Are you struggling against lefties? Well, let's have a better plan of attack. Let's let it eat a little bit more, and you certainly saw that with the life on the fastball. Cole Reagans, you would think, you know, we're probably less than a week away from finding out he's going to be the opening day starter for a second straight season. The question is how many opening day starts does he make moving forward? Because as you saw last night, he's one of the finest pitchers in Major League Baseball, and when you have that kind of competitive a relentless competitive spirit to where a spring training game can, you know, sting you for 3 to 4 days afterward. That's the kind of guy that you pay long term. I'm not saying that's anything that we need to start discussing now, but that type of talent with that type of mindset, that as he has been, that's a franchise changer.
What about Chris Bubich? You know, we were talking earlier in the show just about where one he starts the season and how do they handle perhaps an innings limitation. If you were going to ask, how does he not look as sharp as he did when he was in the bullpen? Is it an innings limitation? Do they ask him not to, I mean, throw the curveball as much? What do you think the plan is for him?
Well, they're certainly, you know, even, again, talking with Brian Sweeney earlier today, and I'm asking about Waka and Lugo and Reagans. Can they meet or exceed their innings totals from a season ago? And it's a quick dodge of the question in that they want to do it, so we're going to come behind them and support them as much as we can to try and get all three of them to 200 innings. So, you know, I read in between the lines of no, we're not expecting 3 200 innings. We're not expecting Lugo to lead the American League in innings pitched. Now, as far as Chris Bubich is concerned, the guy that threw, 70 innings last year across the minors and the majors, maybe you want to bump that up because of bullpens and side sessions. Maybe that gets up to 90, 100 innings. So you think $120 this year? The way that it appears they're going to handle Chris Bubich is he's going to be the number five starter to start off the season. And understandably so, because if he's starting the season in the bullpen, what's his role, right? I mean, Estevez is the closer. You have a fireman in Lucas Ursig. Hunter Harvey's your setup guy. Angel Zerpa's your lefty specialist, who the organization expects even more from. Expects lefties to be completely nullified by Zerpa, and they expect to see even more from him against righties. That's a pretty strong big four.
So where do you fit
in the back end of your bullpen? So where would Bubich fit in there? And I'm sure there's someone saying, well, where does Daniel Lynch fit in there? Well, Lynch to me is more of a multi-inning reliever. I'm not going to denigrate him and say a mop-up duty, but you know, if Bubich, and this is how I think you use him, if we're going to allow Seth Lugo and Michael Waka and Michael Lorenzen and Cole Reagans to earn that third time through the lineup, I don't know if Chris Bubich can earn that, right? I think Chris Bubich, you're going to mine the innings early. You're going to let them five and dive, and then you turn it over to that bullpen. Now, as we get towards the summer months, then I see him transitioning to the bullpen for those final few bullets that he has down the stretch. Those come out of the bullpen, and he's replaced in the rotation by, hopefully a Kyle Wright or an Alec Marsh. Hopefully nothing has transpired prior to that that necessitates them moving to the bull or moving to the rotation any earlier. But again, and you guys referenced it earlier, those 2.5 starts in year one of Brian Sweeney in this pitching staff, pitching department, you saw the Chris Bubich that he always believed that he was. You know, I learned a lot from Chris Bubich. I'll remember taking countless phone calls of, you know, Vern, this pitching coach has to go. Mike Matheny's got to go. This guy's got to go. They're not letting Chris Bubich throw the pitches that he wants. And, man, that used to drive me up a wall. I mean, it's your big league career. Don't let a coach tell you what you can and can't do. And, you know, I would tell that to Chris, and he would kind of, you know, grit his teeth and smile and go, yeah, Vern, that's a good point. And then Matheny and those guys are removed. Brian Sweeney comes in. He allows Chris Bubich to – and supports Chris Bubich with the slider to go along with that devastating changeup and a good fastball. So now when he has that type of support system behind him and they're telling Chris the things that he always believed, that's why you saw as good of a 25-year-old lefty as, you know, we saw through these parts in quite some time in those 2.5 starts back in 2023. So there are high expectations for Bubich, as we talked earlier this week. I think, you know, by the end of April, we could have a discussion of, man, is he the third best arm on this team right now? Just like we did at times with Brady Singer last year, just like we did at times with Alec Marsh. Bubich has maybe not the overpowering stuff of a Marsh or at times a Brady Singer, but the way that he can use a hitter's weaknesses against him, the way that he thinks the game, I think could separate him from the aforementioned Marsh and Singer and catapult him to that third best arm in this Royals rotation. So I think you let him attack early on. Now you're wise with him again third time through, and you utilize that great bullpen. But the message to him right now is, we'll worry about innings when that comes. We just want you to attack this season as if there are no restraints. But of course there are, coming off a truncated 2024.
I really feel like Chris Bubich was the single biggest reason why they were willing to let Brady Singer go. Like, they were so high on him, they're like, we can afford it.
Yeah, I'm sure that played a role. Listen, if you don't have Chris Bubich, you're not going to go into the season banking on Kyle Wright. But, you know, they were pretty desperate for that leadoff hitter. They didn't see him on the free agent market. Jonathan India was a guy that, you know, Brady Singer actually told him, I've never met a more competitive, a better teammate than Jonathan India. And that meant a lot to the team because Brady Singer, as competitive as anyone I've been around and a great teammate, and lo and behold, they ultimately get traded for one another. I'm sure Bubich played a big role, but still, you know, I don't know if you can part with a Brady Singer because a guy coming off of Tommy John might be able to give you a strong 3 months. I do think that India and having someone in front of Bobby Witt Jr. weighed even heavier than the knowledge that Bubich was waiting in the wings.
Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. Enjoy maybe a game that gets delayed or something. Yeah, freeze. I know, it's so terrible.
Cold game
weather.
Out in Arizona. Uh-huh.
We're about to have 70s here all next week, Vern. 70s all next week.
Good, you deserve it. Uh-huh. You've been through a lot.
All right, there you go. That's Josh Fernier, our Royals insider, spring training coverage here on 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Park and Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. Coming up next, Fan Club Friday. Our friends from Sazerac going to join us. We'll have a couple drinks. We'll talk about the plans for tonight. We'll also get back into another defensive player available on the open market in the NFL that just got cut by a team. We'll tell you who that is next.